Aggravated, a Mike Valenti signature podcast.
Well, welcome in, and I guess this is the beauty of real-time taping. We are taping moments after the New York Football Giants just hired a man who I don't know what he looks like. I don't know who Joe Judge is. It's not even the design of this podcast to go down this road. But can I get something off my chest before we dive in, fellas?
Like, yeah.
I got the news in the parking lot. I walked, you know, my phone ought to, this is what kills me. And like, I'm not mad. It's just a slight annoyance. My phone blows up. Oh my God, what do you think of Joe Judge? What do you think of Joe? And these are people who've known me for like 20 years. Like, oh man, you must really be upset. And it's like, Jesus Christ, does everybody run to their phone? Oh, just text Mike.
Dude, whenever I've noticed
fucking this, let it breathe.
Whenever there's Giants news, I have made the decision I just don't text you about it anymore because
don't
I know
bother.
I know your phone's getting blown up. I know that when I see you, we'll chat about it.
So as I'm walking in and my phone's exploding with every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanting, you know, offering me their take on the Giants hire, like I care. I don't get 10 feet in this office. I see Tom Milliken, the executive producer of the morning show. And he's laughing. And I go, yeah, I don't know anything about Joe Judge. What do you think happens next? From across the room. I mean, it was like Pamplona. And Stoney was the Bulls. And I was the guy he was chasing.
Oh, hey, oh, man. Joe Judge, huh?
And I'm like, my inner monologue, literally, I wanted to be, It's not that I don't like Mike, but my first reaction inside was, get the fuck away from me, okay? Just get away from me. I don't want to start my day this way.
Well, you know, nobody knew who Doug Peterson was when they hired him.
I'm like, all right, first of all, I wasn't even talking to you. Second of all, I'm not interested in having this conversation or any conversation with you currently. And third of all, here's the key. I didn't ask your opinion. Or your comparative analysis of what the Giants did.
Well, you know, sometimes the one you don't know works out.
I'm like, still talking.
Well, Mike, I'm
walking away. I'm not done, David. Now I'm walking away, and I went, "Eh, Mike, yeah, whatever. You know, I just don't care anymore." I'm walking into the studio. I grab headphones. I'm walking briskly to the studio, which means I just don't have the interest to talk to you. I don't have the goddamn time. What happens?
Well, you know, who knows? Man, he might be better than Eric Bieniemy. And I'm like, this fucking guy is still talking to me.
Then, and you guys were witness to the last part. This is the beautiful part. I shut the door to the studio. I look at Sully.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
And I go, get this fucking guy away from me. What happens?
The door
just cracks open with, well, you know, it might work out.
And he's been known to do this before. I love Stoney.
And it's, again, it's like one of those traits where certain things rub you the wrong way, and it's not a big deal. It's like you live with somebody, and they don't wash their dishes the way you like.
Yeah, he doesn't
college.
Have, like, a mean bone in him. He's not doing it to be, you know, it's just his nature.
He doesn't take cues.
Right.
Now, I'm not interested in anything you're saying right now. I don't even want to look at you, much less talk to you. I'm busy. And no offense, I didn't ask for your expansive, nuanced take on who the fucking Giants hired 30 seconds ago. It's just, oh my God.
It's like, do you guys remember the one time our boss almost wanted to kick Stoney out of the building?
No.
Because of what he did similar to this? I'll take you back to the national title game. A guy by the name of Tua Tagovailoa checks in the second half.
With the Georgia.
So, Jimmy Power is a huge Georgia fan. Alabama is losing to Georgia. Georgia has the national title.
Went to the game.
Alabama comes back in the second half and wins. Jimmy walks in the next morning. He's obviously pissed, doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Red-eye flight.
Stoney walks into Jimmy's office and just smiles and goes, how pissed are you?
Oh, man. I honestly, like, I don't advocate violence, but I would have been okay if Jimmy shot him right there in his office.
Threw a potted plant right at his
face. What is he going to say?
Yeah.
How pissed off are you right now?
Like, it would have been great if Jimmy talked to him nicely, and as he turned around, he hit him with a computer monitor. And you just dropped him.
No, but Mike, I got here a little bit before you did. You recorded our pod, and I see Stoney, you know, just lingering around Sully.
Man.
And I go to get my headphone because I know we're coming in here to record, and literally 3 minutes before you get here, he tells me, all right, bye, see you later.
Yeah.
So to my surprise, Mike comes in, and I shockingly still see Stoney lingering to come back in to talk to Mike about the Giants.
Well, you know, he was a candidate for Mississippi State.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, in all seriousness.
Look at the Rappaport tweet.
Hey, Stoney, haven't been on Twitter in 7 years, but thanks for checking. I'm serious now. Who the fuck is Joe Judge? Can any of you tell me anything about my football team's head coach just before we really get into this? Who is this man? I don't know what he looks like. I know he went to Mississippi State. I know he coached the single worst unit on the Patriots.
Yep.
But the report I was listening to as I walked in, and I guess this is how we can make this kind of relevant locally, but Jesus Christ. Apparently Matt Rhule, who was the Baylor head coach, Temple head coach, New York guy. I mean, this is a guy who took the subway to Knicks games as a kid. Like, this is a New York guy who coveted the Giants job. He calls the Giants from Carolina and goes, hey, I'm getting word you're going to give this job before I come to interview with you today.
Mm-hmm.
Match the money. I'll get on a plane right now. Fucking Giants go, nah, we're good. I mean, it's Joe Judge. This guy must be a seductive motherfucker because this guy got the Giants to not even interview Matt Rhule?
Well,
and it was that's unbelievable. Well,
say the thing about the sports science thing, David.
Yeah. Well, Ian Rappaport reported earlier that David Tepper paid for some sports science program that Matt Rhule has wanted, something with, you know, research and science.
Injury prevention.
Yeah,
he
injury
also
prevention.
Offered him 7 years and $70 million.
Along with paying for the buyout for Baylor. So Tepper is all in on this,
but
and I guess the Giants weren't.
What did I tell you about David Tepper? Wall Street guy.
Yep.
At one point in time was the highest taxpayer in the state of New Jersey. This guy has said from the jump, I'm going to do whatever it takes and spend whatever it takes to bring a Super Bowl here.
Mm-hmm.
He walked in, he observed, he butchered, he's spending. He's building a new practice facility.
Yes.
Like, Tepper's not screwing around, but here's the difference. Mm. Matt Rhule got home from vacation. And Tepper was waiting for him at the house.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the fucking Giants think they're the belle of the ball. You come and see us. And I mean, look, ultimately, here's the one thing I'll say. 10 years ago, I'd go bananas and go, who the fuck is Joe Judge? Whatever. I don't know. I mean, did anyone really? Like, Kyle Shanahan, we knew. But, like, did anyone really know Frank Reich outside of he played for the Bills?
Or Matt LaFleur, even.
Matt LaFleur's another
OC
one.
He was.
Doug Peterson's another one, back when Andy Reid initially got hired.
John Harbaugh
was special teams
coach. The direction
coach.
Of the league.
Just understand, I'm not angry. I'm just befuddled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the Giants go into this with an open mind. We're going to interview Mike McCarthy. We're going to interview Josh McDaniels. We're going to interview Wink Martindale, Chris Richard, Joe Judge. But all the while, I thought it was pretty clear, like, Matt Rhule wants this job. He told Cleveland, no thank you. He turned the Jets down because the Jets tried to make Adam Gase his OC. He worked with the Giants. He's a New York guy. I go, all right, well, we'll give it a spin. Boy, this Joe Judge, if anybody... Boy, can you tweet or I don't know, respond on Instagram mm-hmm. if anybody knows anything about Joe Judge so I can somehow speak to my dad and go, Dad,
yeah.
don't.
Let me give you his bio.
Dad, don't.
Sure, look up his Wikipedia.
Let me give you his bio.
My dad currently is driving for the hills.
So this is his bio, quick ascension to head coach in the NFL. But
how old is this guy?
He is age 38.
Mm-hmm. White or black? I'm serious.
I honestly don't even
he's
know.
White.
He's got to be. He's white.
He's white.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about this man.
He's younger than us.
Born and raised in Pennsylvania. But as a coach, Mississippi State grad assistant from 05 to 07.
Oh, my
He God. Then became the linebackers coach in 2008 at Birmingham Southern. And then.
What's Birmingham Southern? High school?
No, that's a small college.
But Jesus, then, that's like the place you played ball.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Exactly. But then after that, he's been on a lot of winning teams. Won two national titles with Alabama from 2009 to 2011 as a special teams assistant.
All right.
2012 to 2014, he then went to the Patriots as a special teams assistant.
Oh, God.
And then from 2015 to 2018, present day, almost, special teams coordinator. He's been since 2015 with the Patriots. And last year with the Patriots, he took over the wide receiver coaching duties as well. So he's been the special teams coordinator for
three-time Super Bowl champion.
This guy must be a hell of an interview.
Two-time national champion.
Can you imagine they get a call from Rhule, and they went, nah, we're good. That's incredible.
And he was born in Philly, so I would assume he's an Eagles fan.
Oh, great. That's comforting. No, I just, it's funny. Like, I think the standard thing is people flip out, and you go, oh, my God, I can't believe we didn't hire X. And we hired Y. And it's no different than the NFL draft. Like, oh my God, we didn't take X. The reality is, when you look at the NFL head coaching carousel, nobody knows anything. There are home run hires that turn out to be duds. There are perceived duds that turn out to be electric. I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to give Matt Rhule a spin because he's a high analytics guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a culture builder. You know, he went to Temple and built it ground up. He went to Baylor after a sex, rape, disgusting, you know, scandal. And built it up. And he's heavy into analytics. I love his defensive coordinator, Phil Snow. I was willing to give it a spin. Now, I'm not going to yell and scream, but I just don't know who the fuck Joe Judge is. I honestly, there are very few coaching candidates in the National Football League. You could say their name, and I wouldn't be able to give you their resume, tell you who they are, kind of what their influences are, etc. I don't know a goddamn thing about Joe Judge.
So, a couple of notes. He was going to leave the Patriots to join Josh McDaniels' staff in Indianapolis before McDaniels backed out of that in 2018. And then also, Judge is, according to ESPN, the only coach in the NFL with both special teams and wide receiver duties.
I don't know what to make of that.
I know.
All right, well, we've wasted enough time on that. I just wanted I had to vent because, honestly, working here, it probably takes a week off my life every day I show up here. I can't, I just don't understand the people in this office, but I'll leave it alone. Carry on with whatever else we're supposed to do on this pod this week. I'm just going to sulk.
Well, the first thing we talked about that we wanted to bring up was over the holidays, David promised us that he would watch... He's never seen an episode of The Office, right?
Yeah, I forgot about
this. We're always talking about it behind the glass.
Yeah. Right. Every day there's some line or something.
Michael Scott line or something.
And what surprises me is that the show is so popular among like younger people. My kids will watch it all day long. They love it. Huh. You know, and it's more popular now than when it was actually on. They're thinking about doing a reboot, I read.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll never be able to put that cast together again. You're never going to get the... Think about the people. In many ways, The Office is almost like Saturday Night Live in its prime. Think about the people that walk through that set and went on to, and it's not just
everybody.
You know, Steve Carell. Mm-hmm. It's not just John Krasinski. I mean, you're talking top to bottom the amount of people who have left that show to become big time writers, big time actors, actresses. It's incredible the cast that they put together for as long as they put it together. It really is.
Well, this leaves the verdict. So, did you watch The Office over the holiday break?
Yes, I did. I watched the first season, all six episodes.
And you always have hated on us for watching it. You always thought it's just such a white show. You can't watch it. It's not. This doesn't sound funny at all. So, what was your thoughts on it?
Here are my thoughts.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
What's wrong? Oh my God.
What's wrong?
Mike's on the computer.
All right.
Now what?
Sources. This is from Jordan Renan of ESPN. Giants hire Joe Judge, eyeing Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator. God.
Of course they are. Are you serious?
Go ahead. I'll be over here. You guys are over there. Yeah. I'm over here.
Bring Jason home. Yeah.
He doesn't even remember what we were talking about. No.
All right. Here's my review of The Office. First six episodes. I still think it's a white show, and I think it's not funny.
Oh, my God.
This show was just boring.
Oh,
come on.
I find myself, I laugh maybe once in six episodes.
Come on, David.
This really, I don't understand why everyone likes it.
What about Diversity Day? Did you watch
that? Well, that's the one episode. I laughed one time during that episode when he did the impression of Chris Rock.
Right.
But
okay.
That was it. There's nothing funny about this show.
Come on, man.
Dwight is dumb.
But he's funny.
No, he's not funny. He's a loser.
Dwight Schrute is magnificent.
Yeah.
He's a loser on this show.
Well, yeah.
Does everything the company wants him to do.
Well, you certainly know people like that. You can, you know,
David,
being around here.
The premise of the show and the reason for the show's success is because there's a Dunder Mifflin Industries in all of us.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I get that. And I saw
each
that.
One of those characters on the show is somebody in your workplace.
It's an extreme version of corporate America.
Look at the hellhole we work in.
I understand.
And then pair up every character in that show. I could basically match in this office.
I could too. I just didn't
Robert
see the show
California.
Was funny.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten that.
I haven't gotten it.
I would also.
What was
I have? I love, and it was on last night. The dinner at the senator's house. I have always been a friend of the Latino people.
The state senator.
And what was Will Ferrell's character's
D'Angelo.
Name?
D'Angelo Vickers.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Remember when he was getting the shave in his office?
See, but here's the thing. You all are talking about things that are later
right,
in the
that's why you gotta
series.
Just keep going.
But first six episodes.
It's
first
great.
Now hold on. If you don't get me on the first season, you're never gonna get me. These episodes weren't funny enough for me to continue to watch season two or season three.
Okay.
It just wasn't good.
Was Bring Your Child to Work Day in that one?
No, there was the pilot, Diversity Day, Healthcare,
Diversity.
The Alliance, Basketball, and Hot Girl.
But basketball one was great.
Where do they do all the... Down in the basement. What is that?
The warehouse.
The warehouse guy.
The best one. It's like, all right, Stanley, you're obviously the number one overall pick.
Now that was hilarious based off the stereotype. Of course, he's expecting him to be good. And then when he dribbles the ball for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, everything else is, yeah. I could have been just fine in my life without ever watching an episode of The Office.
Jeez.
Yeah, all right, so here's my question, right? So I don't want to start an argument, and I'm not looking to argue with you, David. I just think universally it's perceived to be a top five comedy sitcom of all time, okay? And I'll leave it there. I don't want to, you know, some people believe it's number one, some people believe it's number two, whatever. It's one of the better comedy sitcoms in history. I think the three of us can agree. David will have his own opinion. The point I'm making is, last night, and again, there wasn't a lot for me to watch last night. It was kind of a light evening, and I opted out of a movie, and I said to my wife, I said, look, we got the puppy. We're both in the living room. I said, you know, we're one of the only couples. I haven't watched 10 seconds of The Bachelor in my life.
Oh God, I watched some of that.
But last night, I saw a commercial for the three-hour debut, and we looked at each other.
3 hours?
I went, babe, people sit for 3 hours and watch The Bachelor? She goes, I don't know. I don't watch it. I go, come on. Let's fire this puppy up. It was going to be on in about 15 minutes.
Oh, you got sucked in.
No.
The
no,
most
no.
dramatic season yet.
No. I want to bring this full circle back to David because I need to have an understanding on something. I start watching this, right? We start watching this. And I'm like, all right, here's this guy, Pete. I go, okay. Now, naturally, Pete is like a model. You know, he's this Cuban sex symbol who's also a pilot, and he's like 25, yep. right? I'm like, okay, well, automatically we're not off to a good start because that's not real.
Right, exactly.
Nobody looks like Pete. The point is, I watch the introductions where they start introducing the girls. Okay, automatically there were thoughts of like, I'm going to put a bullet in my television. But then you get to the part where the girls meet Pete for the first time. I have to tell you something.
Isn't it awkward?
If you took every person on this show and put them on a boat and just told them, I don't care where you go, but you can't stay in the United States of America. You have to leave and never come back. I think we'd be doing a national service.
Yeah.
This one girl shows up in a paper airplane. One girl shows up with fucking wings on. Get it? Huh? You're a pilot.
Oh, the cheesy stuff.
oh my God, it's so great to meet you. The fake fucking laughter. I looked at my wife and I went, oh my God, were we ever like this? Like, the girls are all coming up. My nana wrote you a note. She's Rose. Oh my God, my nana's name is Rose. I'm going,
I want to be your co-pilot.
Yeah.
Oh. Every cliche.
I want to put my wings on you.
Yeah.
I
want to join the Mile High Club with you.
Yeah, they're flight attendants, too.
I sat there, and I'm going, oh, my God. How big of a fucking loser do you have to be to go on this show? Because remember, you got to quit your job.
Yes, you do.
You got to be. Oh, and then one of the girls, of course, lives at home with mom and dad. She's like 25, you know, quote unquote model.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
their descriptions are great.
This is unreal. So I made it about halfway.
And imagine the ego on these girls that, like, you know, they all think they're going to win. They all think they're the winner, right?
But what are you going to win? What are you going to fucking win? Some guy who's an asshole who's on TV for fame?
Yeah.
You think that's going to work out?
And you don't even know what he's packing, quite frankly.
Yeah, but the problem is you take him to the Boom Boom Room, all of America knows about it. They got boom mics in his ass crack.
Yeah, right.
Like,
what a concept.
But I'm telling you, what I would love for Roberto to do is if you could find the introductions from last night and just pull a best of the fake laughs from these women. And if it
I gotta watch.
If it's not nightmare fuel. So here's my point. David.
Mm-hmm. I just put it on mute.
You compare The Office.
Yes.
To what is now the most popular TV show in America. Can you at least admit to me that from The Office to programs like The Bachelor, it is this gap from, you may not like The Office, but can we at least admit programs like The Bachelor are total shit?
I would say The Office is better than any reality show that's out today.
Okay, that's all I
Yeah, reality TV is just trash.
I needed.
So it is better than that, but it's not. Dude,
there's
really
nothing
good.
Worse. Like when I'm walking through the living room into the kitchen and I look at the TV and my wife's watching like any of those Real Housewives, I just turn right off, man. I go, get me out of this room as fast as possible.
My mom loves those shows.
Oh, it's so bad.
So, David, here's my thing. Do you not like The Office because you mentioned something unsolicited?
Or Seinfeld.
That scares me.
Mm-hmm.
You said it is a, quote, white show.
I didn't say that. Sully says I said that.
Very diverse.
You said that.
For everyone.
You said that.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, what is the issue here? There are black cast members.
I just don't relate to any of the comedy in this.
Dude,
I just don't.
You work here.
That's why Diversity Day, I laughed at that one episode with Chris Rock. I relate to that. I don't relate to any of this other crap. Okay. I just don't.
I guess I do because I see coworkers in that show. I just do. I what do you want me to say?
No, I do see coworkers in the show.
Like
I did
working here,
but
no, I'm disappointed. I thought that we would bring this up, and he would have loved it, and he was on board, and we're all going to have a nice laugh, and we're all going to talk about our favorite scenes.
No,
I was hoping.
I guess not.
Nope. Okay.
You all can continue to talk about your favorite scenes.
No, we're good.
Give your favorite lines,
we're good.
I just won't. I'm sorry.
You have your assignment for our base show is I need a laugh track of all, like anytime Sully tells a dumb one-liner or Roberto's joke bombs, all I want to do is play a laugh track of Bachelor contestants' laughter upon meeting Pete the pilot. And by the way, I lasted about 20 minutes. I looked at my wife. I went, "Fuck this! I can't do this. This is of course not. This is what people are into." I was trying to be normal. All right, I was trying to fit in.
That's not normal. Watching The Bachelor, is it?
Millions of people watching,
dude.
Millions of people can't be wrong.
No, it reinforces my belief that the average American is dumber than my dog. Yes, Mike.
There was that girl from. Did you see that? Her dad's a basketball coach at Auburn. You see that girl?
Oh, my God. In the start of it? Mike. Her recruiting video of her shooting jump shots.
At Auburn, yeah.
With that fake laugh and that fake smile and that fake enthusiasm. I was dying inside. Like, the feeling I felt watching that show is what I imagine my last moments on my deathbed will be like. I felt like I was evaporating.
Oh, jeez.
I felt like I needed to escape, but I knew there was no escape until the stop set. I cannot believe couples sit down and men willingly watch that program.
Ugh.
I can't. I just can't.
I just get angry watching it because, you know, every woman on that show is a woman that, you know, would have never given me the time of day. So
oh my God. Get angry.
Well, and it's funny. I was reading a tweet from Dave Portnoy. He was live tweeting the entire thing last night at Barstool.
Oh, my God.
And Dave said, call me old-fashioned, but bringing a girl to watch your parents renew their wedding vows on a very first date seems a little extreme, especially when you've already made out with four different girls in the meantime.
That is aggressive. That is aggressive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But I think that's pretty cool. A lot of these girls don't even care about that. Like, they don't care to be like the fifth one to make out, or the 10th one, or
you date 25 girls at once, and you can openly just make out with all of them.
No, I don't think that's how that works.
It's not how that works.
This isn't a brothel.
Isn't it how Sam Darnold got a mono?
Every girl, one of the girls last night, her first impression was blindfolding him and making out with him. That was the first impression.
I give up.
But the thing is, you mentioned, Mike, why they go on the show. All of these girls that go on the show, they become an influencer. They get hundreds of thousands of followers, and they don't even have to work.
Imagine
this. They promote products.
All these girls are lined up, 25, whatever that is. There's a fog machine. The fog clears, and out walks me. Bald, fat.
Two kids.
Yeah.
Recently divorced.
Yes.
I would assume you'd have to be divorced on The Bachelor.
I don't think
your wife would tolerate
that.
Give
me future Bachelor.
That's a different show.
But let me ask you a question, though. Wouldn't The Bachelor be more enjoyable if it featured people that looked like, you know, people?
Yeah, regular folk.
Well, Pete the fucking pilot looks like he's out of a watch.
Right,
ad
who wants
for
to root
Omega?
For that asshole? Like, if I was on it, people would be like rooting for me. Like, hey,
right,
for
like,
you,
like,
man.
Come on, man. We want to see Roberto get his brujol wet.
Yeah, like, hey, they do it in sitcoms all the time. Like, Kevin James, King of Queens, could ever get Leah Remini. You know
you
what I'm saying?
Be,
like,
it's Remini.
Right, whatever.
You would be vilified, though, Roberto, because you'd get drunk and you'd get on there and you'd say to the camera, listen, my goal, don't tell these girls this. My goal is just to fuck every one of them. You'd say something.
You imagine Roberto coming out in a Bob Seger t-shirt, cardigan unbuttoned, and a rocks glass.
No. A Kiss t-shirt.
I'm excited to meet all of you.
You know,
Come here, honey.
We had a guy in this office who was asked to be one of the 25 on The Bachelorette. You know, a few years ago.
Oh, I remember that.
Who the hell's good looking enough at this place?
Jamie Samuelson.
No, and Debbie even said, our boss Debbie even said, no, go ahead, take a few months off and go.
Of course she did. She wanted the promotion.
Any guesses?
Oh, I already know.
I know.
Yeah, I already know.
Over at YCD, Rob Stone.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Before he was married.
I see him occasionally peeing. Rob's a very nice guy.
Very nice guy.
I don't know him. Nice guy. Attractive dude. He'd be the one. I'll tell you one thing. With the amount of Gargamels we got in this place, how many good-looking dudes are in this?
They're
office?
Not picking me to be on the.
Yeah. I don't think
they would. David.
You imagine? Yeah, let's go over to the sales area, grab a few of those stud muffins.
Oh my! I want to do it. I want to put that all together.
I want to put Stoney on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, ladies, I want to tell you a story about the Broad Street Bullies. Oh, did you say you're from D.C.?
No,
I went to American.
That would be a great bit, though, Roberto, because, well, you're probably too old, but they always say on their every commercial break, hey, if you're interested, go to abc.com/casting,
right.
And you can try out
locally.
Can I
go to the casting?
Yeah, Fifth Avenue Royal Oak always has casting every year.
I think we'll film it.
I don't know if they'll let us use it for our show.
I think the show would be a lot better if it featured at least something remotely believable. this is the most pre-produced, pre-packaged, and these women, I mean, if you tried any harder, your heads would explode. It's not, I can't even.
Now,
it's cringeworthy because it's what I imagine, obviously.
But of course, too, like, this guy's like a great conversationalist. He can just, like, you know, he's got him in the palm of his hand. Like me, I would be, oh my God, I'd be sweating at the table.
Oh, I mean,
you mentioned the table. The table, though. Apparently, it's a well-known fact. I just learned this a couple weeks ago. My girlfriend and her friend were talking about it, and I said, no way, that's true. And they said that every single time there's food on The Bachelor, that they never eat the food.
I was like, what?
Right.
Yeah, they talk over dinner.
No, but they always say you are not allowed because your microphones, you cannot eat food on the show. So they eat before, then they go on the date, and then they just have the food sit there.
Oh, my God.
Which is just weird.
I don't understand. Like the day open, I love the opening scene too. His guy's walking through the airport. It's like the paparazzi. Oh my God, you're the Bachelor. Let's take a picture.
Right.
And I'm just like, I hate everything I'm already watching. I was 10 seconds into the show. I can't hit. I mean, like, whatever. So look, I just had to throw it out there because look, David, no one has to like anything. I don't understand the idea. Like when I was growing up, I loved two black shows. Maybe I love three black shows. Was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air considered a black show?
Yes.
Loved it.
Was Happening, Good Times.
Was Family Matters a black show?
Yes.
Loved it. Was Martin a black show?
Yes.
Loved it. Was In Living Color a black show?
Yes.
Loved it.
I love all those shows.
Okay, so my
point
despite
recent things, The Cosby Show was good.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to separate those two.
Right. Yes.
I didn't know that then.
Yeah, we don't put the show into
Dr.
a bad
Huxtable.
Category.
Right. The point is, when you bring this up and you go, oh, no, that's a white show. Like, I don't view these things in that prism. Now, I don't know what black show I currently watch because, I don't know, I tried to get into Empire and I just thought it stunk. I didn't like it.
Blackish is good.
Blackish is good,
very
yes.
good show.
What is Blackish?
That's Anthony Anderson.
I like it
Tracy
already.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes.
Okay,
He's the ad executive.
Very funny.
Yes, she's a doctor.
I could get into that.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't view things in that prison.
Well,
I don't know why you got to do that.
Well,
why you got to do that to my people?
Well, here's the thing. I say that as to be funny. I don't separate things. I watch shows if they're funny. I just don't think The Office is funny. Has nothing to do with it being a white show.
What about Modern Family? Do you like that?
I've never watched it.
I find that show incredibly entertaining.
Never watched it.
I don't catch it often.
But if it's on, I like it.
I think it's funny. I like the style. Plus, Jamie is Phil Dunphy.
Oh, my God. To a T. I mean, they look alike. They dress alike. It's insane.
No, I do this for me, Mike, because you run the social media. Mm-hmm. Can you just ask the poll question, is straight up, fact or fiction, is The Office overrated?
I will.
I just want to see if it's a more popular opinion. I don't want David to be out there on a limb.
Oh, I'm used to being out there on a limb. I'm fine.
No, it's funny.
I'm the only one.
I'm
fine.
I'm Googling right now, do black people watch The Office? And there's shows ranked by like racial ethnicities, but it's not really saying one way. They can't find an article on it. I thought there would be.
All right, let's get into, give me this. You said you had a New Year's sports thing you wanted to hit. Let's do that and then wrap this puppy.
Well, yeah, we came up that your guys' job was to give me some bold predictions for this decade. So in the next 10 years, you must tell me
this
either
decade?
This will happen or this will not happen.
Ooh. And we're doing national or local?
Whatever you want.
All right.
And then I have my predictions for the three of you in the
All
next
right,
10
you're
years.
Ready, you ready for this?
Thank you for that, Roberto.
I won't be working here. Put that in stone. All right.
Jeez.
How about this? Locally. No Detroit professional team will win a championship.
Ooh.
In the next 10 years.
As much as I love Steve Yzerman, guaranteeing that you're going to win a Stanley Cup is something you simply cannot ever do. It is, you could make a case that winning the Stanley Cup is the most difficult thing to do in sports based on the absolute blood war that the NHL playoffs are. So winning a Super Bowl is right up there too. I'm just saying, don't believe in the Lions. Tigers, I don't even think have the GM to start the rebuild, much less get the rebuild going. Pistons haven't begun their rebuild, and they're in for a decade of darkness. It would leave the Red Wings. Now, nationally, I'll offer you a pair of basketball takes for the National Basketball Association. One, this decade, Luka Doncic will become the best player in the sport.
Okay.
And at the conclusion of this decade, Zion Williamson will no longer be playing.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I think Zion will have an absolutely fantastic, albeit shortened, NBA career.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to give you 6, 7, maybe 8 fabulous years. But playing at 280 pounds, it's going to put a toll on his body. I think his body will end up breaking down, and he will not have a career that will last to 2030. How about those to start out?
Mm.
You guys go for it.
And he will go on to do what?
I don't fucking know. Be a chef.
Be on TV.
Right, exactly. All right, next.
I would say that within the next 10 years, the Detroit Lions will actually win the division. And I'm saying that based on law of averages and the fact that 10 years from now, even the past 10 years, they should have won it once or twice. I think they're finally going to get that off their back the next 10 years. It has to happen one of these years. National one. I'm really trying to think of a good national one. I would say...
That'd be bold.
What?
I would say that Tom Izzo wins his second title.
No. I want you to be right, but I think Tom's window is the next couple years. I think when his son Steven graduates, he will retire.
That's
my opinion.
Right. Okay.
If he doesn't get it done this year, I don't think he gets it done. And unfortunately, Langford's not coming back. But do I think MSU's still got a shot to grow into being a Final Four team? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm a little light on that. Go ahead. Please,
David.
Locally, Steve Yzerman will be booed out of Detroit because he will not get the team as far as even the Eastern Conference final.
Come on.
I don't want
this
it to happen.
So
I'm just telling you what's going to
so
be
David.
What's going to happen in this decade. I don't think he'll get it done, and they'll boo him out of this town, and it might be worse than when Joe Dumars was booed out of Detroit. Mm. Now, nationally, trying to think of something national here.
Let me ask you one.
Yes.
While you're thinking.
I have mine, but go ahead.
And this window is so small, but you could see it happening if it's the absolute right spot. Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl.
No.
Period.
No, he does
probably
not win another
years,
Super Bowl.
You know he's going to go to some sort of winning team.
No, he does not win another Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
he'll probably play 1 year, two max.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The idea he'll go to a new situation and thrive,
Let me flip that. Bill Belichick will win another Super Bowl.
No.
Yes.
Ooh, see, that's the interesting one.
Yes.
I think they forfeited their Super Bowl with the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term prognosis.
Yep. All right. Well, are you ready for...
Stay in the NFL for my national.
Go ahead.
And this might be just too easy. The Jaguars will move to London within this next decade. And there will be a Super Bowl, maybe two, in the city of London.
It sounds off.
During this decade.
See, I'm not going to yell at David on that one. The NFL has an obsession. I've always believed Shad Khan was going to take the Jags there.
Yes.
I mean, that's a European businessman. That's an international magnate. He's the driving force behind the London thing.
Mm-hmm.
His team is the one who does it every year. I'm going to say thumbs up on that for David. I think David's right there.
Will be awesome if that happens. We'll look back on this. This is sort of like our burying of the, the time capsule, right?
The one I have a problem with though is when you look at like, all right, great example. Where is this business in 10 years?
No, come on.
No, I'm being serious.
What, Roberto? That's a good question.
No,
Like covering sports. I think terrestrial radio run by companies who don't know what they're doing, it's going to be in a bad spot, no doubt. But like, where will the coverage be? Think about like when you turn on your team, your coverage of your team, and all it is back rubs and bubble baths.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if we will go full circle where people will demand honesty from broadcasts, that the teams and the networks that cover them, the line has been blurred and they're dangerous bedfellows. And look, I know right now we are seeing a lot of partnership deals.
Or does it go to the extreme other way?
Oh, where each team has its own network and we go a la carte. Yeah, it could, Roberto.
Everybody's the best.
That's a great
Everything
question.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I mean, hell, watch locally and look how people talk about these teams. But
that's a great question.
I kind of wonder. Like, there is an appetite for people to have real discussion about teams. Where will the customer base, the consumer base go in the next 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, here in Detroit, people are not going to tolerate the Sunshine Band without as bad as our teams are. I'm just saying nationally, like ESPN right now, you're starting to see more opinion. You're starting to see with the panelists they bring on having opinions or first take in some total. Does it get more aggressive? Does that become what the new calling card is?
I think that's a direction for sure of it. I mean, this.
Or does it all turn into everyone's great all the time?
Because, Mike, sure, I think do some people want to have their blinders on and just be fed positivity? Of course. That's always going to exist. But I think that overall, and also on a larger scale, especially with this country's hatred for the media that a lot of people have right now, I think that only gets worse where people begin to get more critical.
No, I disagree. I think it's going to be everything is awesome. I really do. I just think that every team is going to have maybe 2, 3, 4 writers for their website.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just going to be
positivity
everywhere.
Yeah, but that's not the only everywhere. Source of coverage.
But here's the thing, Sully. You're talking about the people not liking the media. I think because of that, people are going to move to the positive side so that people fall in love with the media again.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll cap this. I'm going to do an episode on this because I have expansive thoughts on this business and where it's going and all that. I may just do that in a spring upcoming episode, and I'll just lay it all out. And if people want to know how the sausage gets made, if people want to know kind of what I, as being someone in the business, think it's going, you know what? Fuck it. If 10 people listen to it, I don't care. It's what we created the pod for. Why don't we stop it there? Let's rate, review, subscribe.
Hold on. Let me give you my predictions for you guys in the next 10 years.
Oh, you have personal ones?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Okay, so in the next 10 years, we'll start with David. Starting in 2020, David is going to start a new health regimen.
Oh.
And because of this new health regimen, he's going to have unbelievably clear hearing. He's going to hear things he's never heard before. He's going to hear things like, here's your salad, sir. He's going to hear things like, yes, you can substitute fries with broccoli.
Yeah, right.
And he will hear, hey, didn't you used to be in radio?
Oh. I see this as a Roberto roast. That's what it's
called. No, the problem with David is he starts a new initiative every week, and it's over by Tuesday.
I have not. What are you talking about?
Hey, David, hold on. You know, I'm going to start my year right. I come in yesterday. David, what are you nibbling on over there? It's stinking up the studio. Oh, it's shrimp Alfredo.
What's wrong with that? Shrimp Alfredo. Is that a problem eating shrimp Alfredo?
Nice and light on a Monday.
Oh,
pretty
relax.
Heavy. Pretty heavy. Okay, now with Sully, in the next 10 years.
The hair's gone.
Well, we know that, but.
I had a conversation a week ago about a hair transplant.
He will also become a compulsive, degenerate gambler.
We have breaking news. Wow. Wait a minute. Who'd you have a conversation with?
There was a company, Chicago-based, that actually reached out to me on Instagram, said that they would do the entire procedure for free.
And you'll be an influencer?
And, well, they said we didn't even get there. They didn't even say you need to tweet this or whatever. They just said, hey, we love the show. We listen. We'd love to do it for free. And and I looked into their website. They called me and whatnot.
It's amazing. Yeah. Sully can pull that off on his own, but we got a room full of salespeople over there playing Yahtzee.
Yeah, I was like, do I tell them?
The future's changing already.
They'd probably try to just get in on it.
Well, no, they would try to get in on it and give you an inferior deal.
Well, it was more just I wanted to just hear what they had to say.
Mike, are you seriously considering it?
Yeah.
Yes, he should.
I think it's a great idea.
Hell yeah.
My only thing was, and the doctor was great on the phone, but I am kind of worried about some of the side effects that
you hear.
No, there's no side effects. Listen, I know someone who had this
done. He just texted me right now about it, actually.
They had to wear a hat for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
It hurts. Yep. But here's my thing, and I want to say this, and Mike, you know, I know your girlfriend, and I think she's lovely. Mm-hmm. I do, and there's no smarm here. I'm talking, you're a gambling guy. We have to talk percentages. The odds that this is the girl you marry is very low, because both of you are incredibly young. You're 25. She's a few years younger than you. Okay?
Right. I look like you at 25.
I'm not being disrespectful here.
Jeez.
You have to place a bet that at some point you're going to be back on the open market. You're going to need lettuce.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not being disrespectful. You're changing at a rapid rate. She's changing at a rapid rate. The odds that you two grow and change together at the same rate through your 20s to then get married, it's not high.
What did she have? Did you talk to her on the phone the other day or something? Mike, where is this coming from?
I don't know.
No, I'm trying to be a friend because I'm going to say things to you that most dickheads won't say. I'm saying get the hair now. If it works out, unbelievable. She's happy. If it doesn't work out, you're back on the market, natural lettuce, and you're ready to roll. I think it's a power move.
I'm really considering. Actually, and I kid you not, as I brought this up, right now this doctor had texted me about it, asking if I'm still interested or whatever, and he said, Okay, so PRP and PRF are similar, one's more concentrated. It stimulates increased growth enzymes at base of the hair follicles, thereby causing increased density and growth. You would need three treatments roughly 6 weeks apart. So,
big deal.
He looked at my hair and he said it's, believe it or not, he said, you know, you still do have a good amount of hair, but, you know, it's a matter of either doing that Propecia, which has a lot of side effects that I expressed concern with.
What,
or
you can't get a boner or something? Yeah. What's the story?
Well, that's one of them, actually.
Really?
No, among other things. But the other one was this.
Would you rather have hair or be
this platelet-rich plasma, this actual hair transplant stuff? So we'll see.
So
you can't have it all.
Can they shrink your forehead is what I'm asking. Can they lower the hair
Well, they're going to put more hair on
it. It would just be inside. I don't think the hairline. I don't know. That's the detail.
Will they take hair off the back of your head and put it on the front?
Essentially, yeah. Yep.
If he needs any more, if you don't have enough, we can take the hair off my back.
You know what else I think would be great? I think it'd be a great way to spite this place.
I'm considering it. Yeah.
You people are so bad at what you do. I went outside and got this taken care of. It's the easiest fucking thing in the world. You're on a number one show in town. I got a guy who's losing his hair, young guy, ready to roll. How do you not get the dude plugs?
Yeah.
Easy. He's not asking for, it's not even like controversial. It's not like Sully's like, yeah, I want a dick implant. Like, he can't go on the air and do that.
I've brought that up several times. They can't get it done. I don't know.
You can't sell that on the air.
It really is little to no side effects. So.
I've pitched that before, believe me.
Yeah.
No, but here's the problem. Hey, none of this is going to matter.
Enter promo code Roberto's Hog.
None of this is going to matter because when Sully becomes a degenerate gambler in a few years, he's going to lose his girlfriend in the process.
That's not nice.
And he will not help matters when he says to me, listen, man, I'd do anything to win her back.
Okay. Oh, geez, you're going to make me depressed. Holy shit.
All right, give me mine and let me move on because I doubt this is going to be anywhere remotely accurate.
In the next decade, Mike will, following in the footsteps of his radio idols and heroes, he will become one step closer to Alzheimer's and dementia.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And much like those heroes, you will bring joy to everybody.
No, that's
when you leave the room.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, as I leave. That's no, I listen, 10 years 10 years from now?
Yeah.
I got news for you. I don't know if I'll be doing this in sum total.
Oh, I thought you meant like I won't be around.
You might be dead the way you're trending.
Come on.
Dude, you got to take care of yourself.
Do you expect to be around in 10 years?
Yes.
You do, Roberto? I'm not talking about you.
No way.
I'm talking about Roberto.
Oh.
No, not on the planet, here.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's just a day, we go day by day, what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I don't see myself being here in 10 years.
No, hell no. Hell no. I honestly, I don't even know if I'll still be in the business.
We have to be together no matter what we do.
Oh, okay.
If we go work in sanitation, we all go together.
What is this? Some blood oath?
We'll open like a sandwich shop or something.
So if I really become a pastor, we also have to be together?
Yeah, like if we open, like,
we'll, what?
The four of us, we'll open up a Martinizing or something.
All right. And with that, subscribe, rate, review. We will talk to you next week. I hate you all. Goodbye.